Today's episode is all about water birth. Johanna Honkanen has been working as a midwife for 17 years, both in the hospital and now runs her own private practice. She's one of the leading midwives in Finland about childbirth in the water and has been involved in writing the water birth guidelines and recommendations that are actually being used in hospitals all around Finland. She has also been training midwives and doctors in hospitals in Finland to be able to support water birth better. In this episode, you will find out what those guidelines are, why the training is so important, the impact that they've had, as well as the benefits of the water birth for the mother and the baby. If you've never considered the option of giving birth in the water, this episode will definitely give you some food for thought. Thank you for being here today, and let's get started with Johanna. Welcome to the Birthing in Finland podcast, brought to you by the Nest Doulas. I'm Danielle Bensky, a mother and postpartum doula specializing in maternal well-being and psychology. Each episode, you'll hear eye-opening interviews with some amazing people who support families in Finland just like yours. We'll help you navigate what it means to birth in Finland, growing your confidence on your parenting journey. Thank you for spending time with me today. Now let's jump into our daily dose of birthing in Finland. Just before this episode starts, I want to offer something really exciting. If you're listening to this and you're pregnant, then this one is especially for you. Maybe you've been busy thinking about your birth plan, and what about a postpartum plan? Well, I have just the thing for you. Prepped for Postpartum ebook, a guide for expecting parents on how to thrive in the postpartum. A comprehensive and practical 5-chapter guide covering the most important and helpful things I give my one-on-one clients. In every chapter, you will have the opportunity to take my knowledge and apply it specifically to you and your family using interactive questions and invitations for action. With easy-to-use checklists, I have made sure you will not miss any important action point needed to put theory into action and turn your postpartum into a positive and empowering experience. You can now visit motherstransition.com to get your very own copy and use the code PODCAST15 at checkout to receive a 15% discount. And now, let's get back to this week's episode. Hello and welcome to the Birthing in Finland podcast. Today I have the pleasure of interviewing Johanna Honkanen, who is a midwife, and one of her passions and specializations is water birth. So that's going to be the focus of our episode today. Before we jump in, let's have a chance to get to know Johanna. So hello, and if you want to tell us more about yourself before we talk about our topic.
Hello. I'm Johanna and happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me. Happy to talk about the water birth because that's one of my passions in my work.
Yeah, yeah. Tell us a little about your journey. Like, how did you get into midwifery and where has your path winded to and how did you get involved in water birth?
So I've been a midwife for 17 years. So I started my career in labor ward in Jorvi Hospital. I have worked in most of the hospitals in Greater Helsinki area, longest in Jorvi Hospital, but also Kätilöopisto Women's Hospital and Lohjas Hospital. Yeah. So now I work as a private midwife full time. But I'm also teaching water birth and fetal positioning to birth professionals in Finland as well. Mm-hmm. I teach abroad also. So I'm going to teach in Germany this fall. Mm-hmm. About 10 years ago, water birth was not so popular in Finland. But it was allowed in few hospitals even 17, 20 years ago. Porvo, Tammisaari, Oulaskangas, that are all closed nowadays, were known to have some water births And it was also allowed at Kätilöopisto and Jorvi at the time when I graduated as midwife. So I got my first touch with water birth in Jorvi Hospital. But really rarely women birthed into the pool. So they used it as a pain relief more likely. But that's where I first ran into using water in birds. But I got interested in general about natural pain relief methods and the ways to support the labor without medicines. But after going to some international conferences and water birth classes, I realized that the reason that so many women get out of the pool before the actual birthing happens was the water temperature. So I started to get interested in water birth and started to go to more international trainings and classes and started to study water birth. Yeah. And I felt like we needed a change in many perspectives that we had on water birth in Finland. So
I love that. You see a place to change and you go out and you change it. That's amazing to be in that sphere of influence. Yeah. Thank you for your work, I suppose, from all of us who enjoy birthing in the water. So you sounds like you've had a really big influence on the way that water birth is done in Finland. So can you tell us a little bit about some of the changes that have been made and what was the situation before? You spoke a bit about the temperature, if you want to say more or anything else.
First and foremost, where I started to influence the water birth was the guidelines on water birth after going to international trainings. So the basic guidelines for Finnish water birth have been written by me in a collaboration with the obstetricians, of course. We sat down and we went through the old guidelines and tried to make the changes so they would be more realistic and more better in a way. Realizing that the water temperature was something that needed to be changed from the old guidelines was the key to more people giving birth in water. So the effects of the water are really, really important. So it's important to always measure the temperature and have it as comfortable as possible, I would say, not as low. That's putting it wrong way, but you're not supposed to be in cold water. Yes. It's supposed to be comfortable, but it's not supposed to be hot either. And that
can
was
you
the
tell
problem.
Us a little bit about the actual numbers? Like what is the temperature you're looking for that you feel is comfortable?
Yeah, in the opening stage and the early stage, the water can be as high as 37, 36 degrees. But when the birth progresses and goes forward and the birthing person is doing a lot of muscle work and sweating, the water should be around 35 degrees, I would say. Of course, we're individuals, so you can't say it exactly. For someone who has been, for example, doing a lot of sports previously, might be comfortable with 30 degree water. So it's all individual in that way. Mm-hmm. But 35 degree water is actually quite warm. It feels quite warm if you are deep in the water and the room is warm enough as itself.
Yeah.
So when you're doing muscle work and moving to when you're having contractions, you can compare it to when you go to swimming, it's 28 degrees is the normal temperature. And when you go to a therapy pool, it's 30 to 33 degrees warm. So, 35 is actually kind of high even. But there has been plenty of studies that the water temperature that is lower than your body temperature makes the baby feel more alert. The baby moves more and feels better. And that's why the temperature should be lower to under body temperature when the muscles start to work more.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. And also after the cervix is like over 5 centimeters, usually the women feel that they need more colder water, so they don't need that hot water and so on, because they will start feeling anxious and maybe nauseous if the water is too high. So water over 37 degrees, there is not actually any benefits from it when you have studied it, instead of plenty things that might affect the birth, like in the wrong way. So that's important.
Yeah. I think it was important how you said that it should be comfortable and not as cold as possible, because in the end, also one of the purposes of being in the water is that it's a little bit warm, and because the warm water helps to relax our muscles and helps to feel more calm, perhaps in that moment, which is something we want, of course, in labor. I think that's one of the reasons that many women like the pool and the water, because it's so relaxing. And so, as you said, like keeping it still feeling warm but not too hot is probably going to be important, I suppose.
I think so too.
Yeah.
And I think that that helps regulate your heat when it's comfortable enough, that makes you relax, makes your blood pressure go lower, makes your muscles not to tense up so much, and actually the hormones work better, and also the placenta gets more circulation and so on. So that's important also.
Yeah. I also liked how you spoke about the effect on the baby. Is there any other effect on the baby, perhaps, from water birth? One thing I thought about is, you know, how we always talk about having gravity helping us to put the baby down and be in upright position so that there's gravity supporting. What happens when you enter a pool where gravity kind of doesn't really come to your help, and the baby maybe, you know what I mean? Is there any difference in that sense for the baby to descend when you're in water?
Well, there is not the same kind of gravity there, but the gravity still exists, of course. But I feel that the babies, I've studied their heart rates, and they tend to stay better. And you can feel their rotations and movement. Like the mother can even say that now the baby is turning to the left, or now the baby is kicking there. They, because of the water, they can feel the baby's movement so much better. Mm. So the water actually activates the movements of the baby. And also when the baby is born in water, they actually do there's these primal reflexes that the babies go through birth, and the water that actually holds the baby makes the baby go one more round. Like they do rotation when they are born, they do rotation when they go through pelvis, but when they go through water, they actually turn around and face their mothers and look the mothers into the eyes, actually. So that's kind of interesting. That actually is missing when you are not in water. So, but there is less infections to the babies by studies than on water. No, on land, I'm sorry. And there are plenty benefits of water. It does flush away bacteria, flush away clean water. So the babies are less likely to go to NICU care after birth than on water birth.
Than on the land birth.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, interesting studies, findings. Yeah. Was there anything else you wanted to add about the changes that have been made? And I mean, soon we'll talk about the training you give, but before that...
Well, when the water used to be, the old guidelines used to say that the water has to be 37 degrees, so it should be like a hot tub water. And that's when I noticed earlier that the women were getting like sweaty and red, and their blood pressure was rising. They were like drying up, and their pulse was getting higher, and then they were getting hyperventilative and so on. So the key with the changes was really important with the water temperature. But I also have studied and make a study about 700 water birds in Greater Helsinki area. So I have gathered information that is valid and has a lot of insight to water birth, such things as tears, bleeding, the baby's pH levels after water birth. I actually went through 700 CTG, like the baby's heart rate, things to see how the babies were reacting to water birth. And so that gave us a well amount of information about water birth and water birth safety in Finland exactly. And with
can we find this study? This study online?
No, it's not online. No. Okay. It's like my private property because it hasn't gone through any school. So it's something that I go through in the trainings that I have for midwives and doctors.
Are you able to share a little more on the findings from there? Like,
I am.
Some general findings?
Yes. All right. So what I found out in the, when I studied the birds, there was plenty of things that I found out. The first thing is, of course, that which is in international studies also that second-time mothers are more likely to end up delivering in water. So the percentual amount of people been in the water who actually birthed in the water were like second or third or fourth-time mothers, so not first-time mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And also studied such things that the mothers were 95% like perfectly satisfied with their birth, which is really, really important finding. I went through all their birth, like conversations after birth, how satisfied they were on a scale to 0 to 10, and most of them were perfectly happy with their birth experience, which I think is really important.
Mm.
But as well as it comes to tearing, 50% didn't tear at all, like no stitches, and 90% only tear like a couple of stitches, like mid.
Yeah,
there was not hardly no severe tearing in water birds.
Yeah,
it's interesting as well. The babies had higher pH levels, which the pH tells about the oxygen levels in their bloodstream, that they were doing better than the babies on the land by the pH levels that we took from the blood cord.
Mm-hmm. You said about the heart rate?
Also went through all the heart rates, and the heart rates were 90% perfect without no decelerations during the pushing stage, because in a water birth you're not supposed to push really hard. It's not supposed to be like a athletic event where you push and hold your breath. You're supposed to follow your body. So my findings in that were that the babies were doing better when the mothers were not pushing like coached pushing and really hard pushing instead of following their own bodies. So that was interesting now, as well.
Now that you say that, I had an interesting thought. What do you think is the correlation of that to just the fact that perhaps none of them had epidural? Am I right? Because I know that to be in the water, you, let's say that if you have an epidural, you're going to be advised not to go into the water. So I suppose that all of these 700 water births were non-epidural births.
That's true as well. So it might have something to do with that. It also might have something to do with the other guidelines, which do keep water births safe. So yeah. In that way, we do have the, in a way, best possible group of birthing women in the pool, birthing in the pool. So the results as well are really
correlated good. With that.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but I mean, of course, that's important to say because, I mean, the heartbeat also changes because of an epidural and the ability to push without coached pushing and to be more attuned to your body and to be in more physiological positions and are all also correlated to not having had an epidural. So I just think it's important to mention.
And also with an epidural, the usually comes oxytocin together with that.
Or artificial oxytocin.
Yes. So so that also affects the baby's heart rates as well. So
So that's
important to know. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, those are interesting results. Anything else on that? Or maybe we can move to talk about the training that you give. You were mentioning also in the beginning, you train hospital midwives around water birth. And I'm curious to hear more on why you feel like that training is important and what impact you've seen it having in the hospitals around Helsinki area.
Yes, I've trained midwives and doctors around Finland from north to south, so I've seen it affect the whole country. I've been to Oulu and been to up north and to the all sides of Finland, training midwives and doctors. So I think that the effects of training in like what's the most important thing is that now the water birth is allowed in most Finnish hospitals and it's seen as a safe way. And midwives are excited. So that's the most important thing that we have achieved by training midwives. The beginning, I think, in the beginning, I think the fear about water birth and the feelings, the mixed feelings among midwives and doctors about water birth was a lack of knowledge. So I think the fear comes from lack of knowledge, as it usually actually does.
I was just going to add.
So by adding the knowledge to midwives, and the old guidelines, they had so many rules and restrictions and things that midwives did felt unsure in the way that made them fear in that sense. That you were not supposed to touch the baby or otherwise the baby would start breathing or if you touch the baby's head, it might do this and that, or you're not supposed to help the shoulders of the baby. And that made them fearful. And that's kind of like one wants to stay in their comfort zone. Like if you're doing, when you're doing births, and you want to have it safe. So, of course, I understand that one wants to stay in a comfort zone where not having everything to be done differently. And that's one thing that I did try to take away in my trainings. Like, I think that the old guidelines made it seem like it's scary for them and it's too different for them. And I have, the baby cannot start breathing underwater no matter what you do. I've studied the physics of water births and that's just impossible to happen. So training I do, the main focus has been relieving the fear and making water birth more natural and making it more exciting for the professionals as well. bringing up the good stuff in it, like the good points, and for also after they start practicing, they can see how satisfied the mothers are with their birth experience. It's so important.
Yeah.
But also, like making the midwives with the training I do is making them feel comfortable and able to do their work just as they have done it otherwise. But also, like, it's important to make them feel it's safe, and it's really very important as well to the water birth to have the guidelines and also teach about non-interference in the water birth as well. But also letting them know that everything is allowed, and that gives you the confidence to do it, and maybe then not to interfere that much later on.
Yeah.
So if everything is fine with the mother and the baby, there's no need to do any interventions.
Yeah. Can you say a little more about this non-interference in the water birth?
Well,
what do you mean by that?
Basically, knowing that the water does support the perineum, the water does give support to the head when the head is born. You don't have to touch. Of course, if it makes the midwife feel more comfortable with the situation, that can be done. But there is no need to, for example, support the perineum in water birth, because the water does so many things as itself. It does give support and pressure, and it's actually measured that it gives a certain amount of pressure to the skin when you are in the water. So in water birth, the woman is supposed to follow their, to keep it safe, the woman is supposed to follow their own body cues with pushing, follow their own natural instincts, and move according to what they want. And we're not supposed to be coaching, pushing on the side as a midwife. We're supposed to give it time. We're supposed to give the woman time to birth as the body would otherwise. And it will do that. We don't need any help with that in most cases.
I feel like also the fact of being in the water and sort of having those walls of the pool is kind of, in a way, protecting the birthing person and the woman from having these hands touching. It almost helps to make it less interventful. But there's more interventions. I think I just created a word, interventful.
Yeah. But that's true.
Do you see that as well? Yeah.
Yeah, you're like in a cuckoo, like inside the pool, and the walls are sort of your protection from many things.
Yeah. And the positions you are in there are positions that are less classically ideal for a midwife or doctor to sort of examine you, or it can be harder for that person. So it does maybe encourage more, just by the way it's set up, it encourages more physiological, less intervention, full births.
Yes. Yes, yeah. I think so too. I think like it happens naturally in that sort of environment. So that's kind of nice as well.
And for sure, our environment, the way the environment is set up, definitely impacts how we function and behave in that environment. Like we've said on this podcast a few times, when you enter a birthing space that has a bed, you go and you sit on the bed because you know, it's kind of how humans work. We use the space in the way it's designed. And that's why it's so important to think of how we design spaces, and that's why interior designers do their job.
Yes.
So for this pool thing, it's exactly the same. Yeah. So actually, in terms of this training and where people can find water birth possibilities, are there now a birthing pool in all of the hospitals in Finland, or at least in the greater Helsinki metropolitan area? And how does that work? Like, as a person who's interested in giving birth in the water, and I'm pregnant and I'm getting ready to go into the hospital, what should I do to help me kind of increase my chances, because there isn't a pool for every room, or is there?
No, but like the smaller hospitals, every single hospital in Finland now has a pool. So that's for sure. Okay. So don't think there is any hospital in Finland that doesn't have a pool and a birthing possibility in pool in whole of Finland, which is really something because this hasn't been this way 4 years ago. So it all has happened in last 5 years.
That's great.
Just to prepare for natural birth is the way to go, I think. But I think in the smaller hospitals, the pools are really rarely taken. And in Greater Helsinki area, also, like if you wait for a little while, you usually do get a pool. For example, Espoo Hospital does have inflatable pools that can be taken to every single room. So okay. I think that's one way to increase the chance to have it, to have something that is, they are able to move from a place to a place. Yeah. So it's not like something that is set up in the room. So
yeah.
And they have increased the amount of pools, and they have done a lot of renovation for the water birth and the pool rooms around Finland. So I know there's really nice pool rooms all around Finland. So,
So for example, from things I have heard from some birth doulas of my colleagues, like at the Nest, for example, when you are in labor and getting ready to go to the hospital, they advise to just call up before you go, check that there's space. And then even then on the phone, just to mention that, hey, I'm interested in birthing in the water, so that they know about it in advance. Do you find that also to be important or helpful to?
I find it helpful. And especially if you are in a Greater Helsinki area where there is a possibility that you can travel to another hospital where the pool is available. For example, if the pool is not available at the women's hospital, you might want to drive to Espoo Hospital. Like in a Greater Helsinki area, the situation is that it's smart to call in upfront and ask. And of course anywhere, because then you get to know that it's they are all taken, or that it might be free later, or you know, you can think about your choices then. And also to let know increases the chance to get a midwife who is interested in water birth, because they you let them know on the phone that you are interested in that. So it's unlikely that they will send a midwife who is not really into it, or not interested in it. So I think it's a smart idea to say it up front. So
great. We talked a little bit about the benefits of the water birth for the mom and the baby. Are there any risks as well? Or do you want to add more benefits before the risks? And then should we also talk about the risks?
Well, maybe just go through like the most important things that are the benefits of water birth.
Let's do that.
Like when the water supports you, like we know in any kind of like trauma we might have, like we broke our knee, or we did something and we need to make it better, then the water does give you a possibility to have more movement. So the mother can find a good position, and the water keeps you floating, and that's that kind of stuff. And there's also studies that the water actually makes the birth go faster. So and this is not compared to the epidural group, this is compared to land birth without no epidural. It lowers blood pressure and does feel you that you have more control, so the women are more satisfied with it. Also works as a major pain relief. In a certain point of birth, if you're willing to try the pool as a pain relief, it might work as well as epidural. When you like sunk yourself into the warm water and you relax and you're like, oh, this feels so good. And yeah. right before that, you might feel that I do need the epidural. I'm so in so much in pain or agony. And then you, when you are willing to try the water, you feel that, okay, I got the relief that I needed. Didn't need the epidural. So that's interested. And also relaxes, saves energy. And what I said earlier, it does actually give more blood flow to the uterus and to the placenta. So if the water is below your body temperature, the blood flows into the uterus area. And that makes the baby feel better because there's a lot more blood going in there.
Yeah.
And so
oxygen.
That's oxygen. And then the baby's feeling better and so on. So, and also women that do use water in birth, even if they don't birth in water, it lessens the risk to have like tears or need for an episiotomy and that sort of stuff.
Yes.
But also what I found most important about the benefits is that the hormones, the stress hormones, the non-adrenaline and like the negative stress hormones, they are reduced and the endorphins are like woken up and the hormone balance goes to the way where it actually makes the birth faster. So
yeah. Was that compared to the land births without epidural?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there actually is no risks with water birth if the guidelines are followed. Mm-hmm. So if we follow the safe guidelines of water birth, there actually isn't any risks that I could name. Like the baby cannot breathe underwater. The placenta actually oxygenates the baby underwater. And the baby actually is born when you actually lift the baby to the air. So you need the certain kind of pressure of carbon dioxide and oxygen to baby to start even breathing. So so there by studies and there's a lot of big foreign studies about water birth. Water birth is perfectly safe and it doesn't have any risks for a low risk mother in a way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about these guidelines. What are those guidelines for keeping it safe to make sure that there are no risks, as you mentioned?
Yeah. In the opening stage, there's two different guidelines. There's like guidelines to use water as a pain relief, and then there's guidelines to birth in water. And they are separate because of certain things, like, for example, breaches. You can go to the water as a pain relief, but you cannot in Finland deliver a breech baby in water. But I'll go to those details later. But there's two different guidelines in just to make a notice that, like, breech babies and Geminis and big babies, they can use water as a pain relief, but not actually birth in water. So there's two different guidelines on that.
Okay.
But in an opening state, like when the cervix is opening and when the birth is active, it's okay to stay in water. It doesn't matter if your water has broken or not. Doesn't matter how many hours is from your water breaking. As long as they can follow the fetal heart rate at times or if it's needed consistently. So the hospital always should have machinery that works in water as well.
Mm-hmm.
And what's most important for a midwife is to assess the whole situation. So in a way, it is in the hand of a specific midwife. Are you allowed to birth in water or not? Because the whole situation has to be evaluated. It is not a contraindication for water birth if you are inducted, for example. But if there is any other risks, then it's smart to think that is it allowed or not. So for example, if your birth gets inducted, it's not that you're not able to birth in water. automatically. If everything else is okay, it is totally possible. But
so what do we see that is an indication that something is not going well? The baby's heartbeat, I suppose?
The baby's heartbeat or something in the mother's well-being, because there's a lot of reasons that inductions are done. If there's something with the mother's well-being, the fetal well-being, that sort of stuff. And also, if there's a lot of IVs needed, that might be a contraindication to birthing in the water. But you might be able to go to the water at some stage if you ask that, and so on. So always... if one would want to use water in a birth or birth in water, should ask if it's possible at any stage. So that's important as well. But for example, previous C-section or bleeding a lot in a previous birth or having a third degree tear in a previous birth, they are not contraindications for water birth. But again, we come to that we have to assess the whole situation, that what's the reason for the bleeding, what's the reason for the tear, what's the reason for the C-section, and then do the decision if the mother can birth in water. But what's written down about the rules about water birth or the
guidelines?
Of using water is that the pregnancy has to be over 37 weeks, so it has to be full-term pregnancy. But also at 36 weeks, I would advise if you want to use water as pain relief, I think the doctors will allow it if it's 36 weeks. But if we go to, 34 weeks, then maybe not. So
yeah.
If the mother has infection or fever, that's a reason not to go to water. It actually makes the situation worse for the baby and for the mother. But if you have strep, tokok B, GBS, and it's positive, which is a normal bacteria for women, but might influence the baby having infection, that's not a contraindication to go into the water. So they can give the antibiotics every 4 hours and you can still birth in water. So it's not a contraindication. Yeah. Well, a preeclampsia is a contraindication to go into water and safety guideline. Of course,
makes sense.
Of course, if the baby is not doing okay and it's having fetal heart deceleration. That's a reason not to birth in the water. A lot of blood coming out, like bloody bleeding, like bleeding is one thing. If you have an acute herpes infection, that's a special no, because that's the only virus or infection that I found out that actually spreads through warm water really actively. So we don't want the baby to have it, so it's safer to stay on the ground in that case. Then there's epilepsy that has the person has had seizures recently or during the pregnancy. If one hasn't had a seizure for 10 years, that's not a contraindication. But if it does come on often, then that's a contraindication.
Yes.
Then there is epidurals, of course, and spinals. If we go into the spinal space or epidural space, we have an infection way open. That's not okay. And also it doesn't make the water birth safe anyways at that stage anymore. And also if you have had such pain relief as like morphine, intramuscular medicines, you have to wait for a certain amount of time to go to the pool And that's just because the baby cannot be under influence of the drug that is given to the mother and be born in the water. So,
what are some of those medicines known as?
That's Oxynorm and Oxanest that are mainly Oxycontin that is used in labor rooms.
But that's not the gas and air.
No. You can use gas and air.
Yeah. Okay.
But then for birthing in the water, and these people can be in the water for like the active labor part, but not the pushing stage or the baby coming out, is if there is problems with the fetus growing, if the baby is too small for the gestational age, if there has been previous problems with helping the baby baby's shoulders, if the baby is known to be or known, how can you know, that's one question, but like if the baby is assessed to be over 4.5 kilos, if it's a Gemini pregnancy, pre-spec pregnancy, or if there is changes in the mother's well-being or the fetal well-being during the birth. So
I'm not familiar with Gemini pregnancy. What does that refer to?
Like twins. Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. So twins can be born in the water. Yeah. Seen it happen in the home birth videos, but not in a hospital here.
Yeah. Okay. Was there something else?
No.
Okay, nice.
That's about it.
Yeah. So with that, if we follow that, then as you said earlier, there are no known risks. But those are good. So these are the guidelines that are being taught and which the hospitals are now following. And they are, what I like about it is that you took a new look at it and you updated it and you looked at research and evidence and you're helping people overcome, as you said, the fear of just the unknown of dealing with something like that. Making people feel more comfortable in approaching this way of birthing as well.
Yes.
Yeah. And we talked a little bit about the pharmaceutical pain relief options and combining that with birthing in water. So is there something else you want to add about this? Like if you take epidural, then it needs to be done after labor or after the pool, or you cannot go into the pool with the epidural, or is there something else to say about this?
Yeah, but like if you need early, like for example, for a latent phase, if you need like pain medicine, injectable, like intramuscular medicine, after that, if you wait for 2 or 3 hours, you can enter the pool. You can use the air and gas in the pool. In most places, they have it set up so you can stay in the pool and take it through a mask in the pool. Also, in many of the hospitals, they have followed the new guidelines that you can have a paracervical local anesthesia and pudendal anesthesia and then enter the pool again. Okay. If the fetal heart rate can be like followed. So that's one thing that is new.
And as you said, often when women are feeling like they need the epidural and they go into the water, then that desire or that thought maybe goes away because it's such a relief. So that's also important to maybe encourage people to consider that in those moments where you feel like it's too much, the water can really be a very effective form of pain relief.
Yes, and it's about encouraging, as I see it as a midwife, it's about how we encourage people to try different things, because it might be weird what helps us. Like, it might be that it didn't help your best friend, but it might help you, like, perfectly. So, so encouraging people to try, because there's nothing to lose by trying, is important as well. So I think it's part of The reason why I have been attended and why I have attended about 300 water births is that I encourage people to go in there, even though it might be too late or like it's all about the attitude, how you make people feel about the options that they have. So it's important to, as a birthing woman, to try things because they might be perfect for you.
You don't know until you've tried.
And they might help you and you might not need anything else but the pool. So,
yeah. What would you say the difference is between immersing yourself in the pool versus like taking a shower?
Well, most likely the shower will be hotter and will be towards one place and doesn't have the... There's a word in English for that, but I don't know how to say it. But like the way the water carries you and the hormonal things. So the shower might be really, really good for somebody and is a good way to relieve the pain for most people. But it's totally different as a pain relief as the pool is. The pool, even though they both water and the same kind of element, the effects of the pool is totally different than the shower.
Yeah. Speaking of that gravity aspect.
Yes.
For example, it takes away the weight and can really relax your muscles in that, I think, more than in the shower. But then again, in the shower, you can take the birthing ball and you can sit on there and you can... So as you said, they're just two different tools which can be used.
And you can combine those as well. You can be in the pool and then you can hop to the shower and
yeah,
you can
I remember doing that. Yeah. It worked really well for me. Yeah. Yeah, great. Is there anything else you want to add or feel like you wanted to say but haven't said yet?
Not really.
Yeah.
Okay. I just think water birth is wonderful and it's a way to like women feel empowered and make them feel like they birthed it on their own. And that's how we all should feel. Like,
yeah.
Not that somebody took care of our birth, that the midwife delivered the baby like a pizza. That the woman actually birthed the baby by themselves. And that's how water birth is. It's just a wonderful way of pain relief and it's a wonderful way of birthing. It's not for everybody, but it should be available for anybody who wants it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, thank you. Yeah, that finding is really, really powerful. So it's it helps to birth a strong mother who is confident and satisfied with the birth experience, which, as you said, is so important. So I love that finding as well. Great. Well, I just want to thank you for coming to the show to talk about this and letting people know what is available here in Finland and the work that you've done to make it more accessible and to make or help midwives feel more comfortable in facilitating water births and understanding it better so they're less afraid and so more of us can have access to it more easily. So a big thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. It's a pleasure. All right. See you next time. Thank you. Bye.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode and welcome back next week. Just before you go, I want to ask you a question. Do you want postpartum support from people around you but struggle with asking for help? Do you feel awkward to have this kind of conversation? Are you not really sure what to say? I've got you covered, and I've created just the guide for you. It's a word-for-word script that will help you feel confident to have this hard conversation. You will also receive the three crucial elements for a request for help, which will turn it from a nice idea into a reality. Until now, this script has been used only by my clients, and this will be the first time that it is offered for free. It's your chance to receive a great tool which has guided many of my clients in overcoming their fear of asking for help and allowed them to build their village. Do you want the guide that will help you build yours? You can download it now by visiting motherstransition.com. Thank you for tuning in to the Birthing in Finland podcast. To get the show notes for this episode, go to doulacollective.fi/birthing in Finland. If you enjoyed the episode, go ahead and share this with someone who you think needs to hear it. A friend, a colleague, a neighbor. Help us get the word out so that more families can start enjoying these conversations. See you next time when I introduce you to another amazing person supporting families just like yours.